a maize plant in bright sunlight, and a row of greenhouses. Disney Plus presents. An array of green and yellow squash fruits in a farmer's market stall. Watermelons on stainless steel trays. A half-watermelon, red inside with a pale green rim, and a few black seeds embedded in the flesh. Punnets of baby tomatoes and berries. A white-haired man in a black T-shirt shakes another man's hand.
How are you? We all got grey hair all of a sudden. Yeah. How did that happen?
I lost weight.
I want to look like you.
Oh, have you had this one yet? Oh, it's excellent.
The man tastes a slice of melon.
Restaurant business is a tough business.
Yeah. To stay in business is not easy because you have to change, you have to work more so now than ever. You know, before the world was moving slow.
That's moving too fast now.
Now it's like in overdrive. I don't like to talk about the past too much because I start thinking, how much time is there left? At my age now, I probably should say, Wolfgang, slow down and take it easy. But it's quite the opposite.
His friend shucks some corn and Wolfgang bites into it.
As a younger chef, my mentor told me, Wolfgang, you're going to have many opportunities out there, but the opportunities are just like trains in a train station. You have to grab and hop on one train. And hopefully it takes you in the right direction. Hopefully it takes you where you want to go. And that's really how I've lived my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is one of the great chefs of the world, and his restaurants are some of the finest on the planet. Please welcome our old friend, a fine chef, Wolfgang Puck.
A smiling Wolfgang waves to several studio audiences.
Wolfgang, without a doubt, was the first celebrity chef.
Hello, everybody.
His pan flares up.
Look how beautiful.
He has so many restaurants and so many different types of restaurants. All the products that he has on the shelves, you know, I can't even keep up with them anymore, to tell you the truth.
Silver-haired Wolfgang gets into his car and drinks from a china cup. He drives with the cup in one hand, then arrives in one of his kitchens.
Good afternoon. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. What are we making?
The biggest misconception about Wolf is that he is just a celebrity chef and, like, can't cook.
Okay, you finished with the agnellotti or what?
But nothing could be farther from the truth.
Good, yeah.
Wolfgang rolls out dough.
The Mount Rushmore of California cuisine. Wolf's right there in the middle. He's the founding father of the way we eat in this country.
The biggest restaurant that everybody knows, Spago, Spago, Spago.
When Wolf opened Spago, he changed the way Americans eat. He put pizzas on a menu in a fancy restaurant. And that was revolutionary.
Put them on the fire, we need for 20 people.
One of the big innovations to come out of Spago was the open kitchen. It elevated the chef, because what is going on in the kitchen is as important as who is in those seats.
I'm gonna go in the dining room, okay?
Yes, chef.
I'll see you in a few minutes.
He comes through the glass door separating the kitchen from the restaurant.
Hello, how are you? How are you?
Wolf brought the chef into the limelight as someone to be talked about, someone to be written about. He changed the perception in the public for what a chef is.
You know what you have to try for sure? It's our agnellotti with truffles.
His life, it's about embracing possibility, taking every opportunity that you're given and going with it. Wolfgang doesn't have an end game. Maybe that's why he's still at it. He hasn't figured out what that end game is.
He goes back into the busy, visible kitchen. A chain of sunlit, craggy mountains on the horizon and dark, wooded hills in the foreground. A festive wreath hangs on a door.
Hey, wer ist draußen?
Who's there? It's me. Do you remember me? Hello, hello, welcome. Wolfgang and his sister Christina embrace. You lost weight. You're skinny. That's why I brought you something to eat. What? A dessert.
What?
A merch base.
She looks inside the cake box. Thank you very much. I don't have to make it myself. Yes, exactly. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I also have a surprise for you. No. I've made cheese dumplings. Cheese dumplings? Like our mother made. Like our mother. Come. Cheese dumplings. The same dumpling board that our mama had. So they must be just as good.
I'm hungry, says Wolfgang, taking off his scarf.
If you put them in the water right now, probably. Doesn't it have to boil? Simmer. Simmering. Simmering. It mustn't boil. Okay, great.
Butter sizzles in her frying pan.
My cookbook here, look at that. Almost all of them, huh?
Yeah.
All of them.
I have all of yours.
He counts the 7 books.
Wow. As a kid, the kitchen was the only place where I felt safe.
Young Wolfgang goes for a walk.
I grew up really poor.
The boy tosses a pebble into a lake.
We didn't have running water in the house. We didn't have a toilet. But on Sunday for lunch, I would help my mother make a Wiener Schnitzel. Maybe some mashed potatoes. It was like my favorite thing to do.
He squeezes a lemon on a schnitzel.
As
a child, Wolfgang was always in the kitchen with my grandmother or my mother. He watched them cook and always helped a little. Cream is mixed into a herby sauce. And that was his, where he could go to escape from his stepfather, where he was accepted. A black and white family photograph.
Wolf was illegitimate.
Wolf as a toddler with his mother.
His mother was a villager in this little town in Austria. After she had Wolf, she married a coal miner who was really abusive to Wolf and Wolf's sister and Wolf's mother.
Life with my stepfather was really rough. He terrorized us. He would say, you're so lazy, you are good for nothing. His voice really got into my head.
In reconstruction, a boy in a woolly cap representing Wolf walks through a sunlit wood of tall pine trees.
I remember being like 8, 9 years old, and he would come home drunk and say, you go in the forest and pick your stick. I felt like something in my inside was shrinking.
The boy breaks off a branch.
And I said, you know, I want to get out of hell.
The young Wolfgang walks out of the wood and the snowy landscape beyond. Now, footage of the annual Academy Awards in Hollywood.
Hello, I'm Wolfgang Buck. I'm here on the world famous red carpet celebrating Hollywood's biggest night, the Academy Awards.
He greets Julia Roberts and Tom Hanks.
Great food, great food.
This is a preview of the food that Wolfgang Puck is preparing.
This is our chocolate Oscars, which are covered in 24 karat gold.
Some good news, they found Nemo. The bad news, he's in one of Wolfgang Puck's puff pastries.
Okay, two left right here.
When I first started writing about food in the 70s, being a chef was a blue-collar job. It was a terrible job. People knew who owned the restaurant. They rarely knew who did the cooking.
Ruth Reichel, food writer.
And Wolf changes that in a really big way.
Michael Ovitz, co-founder CAA.
When he opened Spago, Wolfgang Puck did something that no one had ever done in the past. Celebrities loved going there. As a young agent in the 80s, every time I would call a client and give them a choice of where to go, Choice 1, 2, and 3 was Spago.
The interior of Spago, packed with stars, recalled by Janice Swerman, maitre d' at Spago, 1985 to 1991.
The restaurant opened at 6 o'clock, and it was packed from 6 o'clock, and the last reservation was at 11. I would look at the reservations, and I would assign the tables. There are about 2 dozen tables in the front room that ran along Sunset. The B and B-minus tables were on the west side. The A tables were on the east side. That was the prime real estate. I read The Hollywood Reporter to keep up with what was going on. If something happened and you knew that somebody wasn't as powerful anymore, man, you know, they lost their standing.
The restaurant is buzzing.
I would put Sean Penn on table 2, Steven Seagal on table 20, Arnold Schwarzenegger here, Tony Curtis there, Tom Cruise there, Paul Newman there.
One time, Michael Caine, Sean Connery, and Sidney Poitier came in. They had a table of 6 people right in the middle of the dining room. No one around them would leave. And that happened all the time.
Mark Peel, chef de cuisine, and guests Shirley MacLaine, Angie Dickinson, Bette Midler.
Because celebrities loved Spago, he got to know all the movie stars and the directors, and the perception of what a chef was starting to change.
The paparazzi point their cameras.
Good night, see you soon.
The exterior of Spago in Hollywood with the iconic woman's eyes painted on the front. A lake in his homeland and a wooded hill beyond. Wolf, being driven, looks across at a distant mountain.
Wow, look at that, the Mittag Skoglo. So they call it Mittag is noon. It's the noon mountain. Because in the summertime, the sun at 12 o'clock hits right above it. See, that's the little island here where we swam out here from Hotel Linda in the back there.
Wolf's 70-year-old bright blue eyes feast on the landscape. Wrapped up warm in the winter sunshine, he walks towards a substantial 3-story white-painted hotel with a restaurant occupying part of the ground floor. He comes in through its curved glass door. Taking off his gloves, he looks around the space, where the furniture and surfaces are covered in white dust sheets. Pale wooden shelves are packed with white crockery. As he wanders further in, he uncovers a round wooden board.
When I look back and think about my childhood here, it's really difficult.
He turns the wheel of a meat mincer, then examines a stainless steel rack.
I was starting to love cooking, and I couldn't wait to get out of the house. So when I finished school, when I was 14, my mother found me a job at the Post Hotel as a cook's apprentice. I was so excited. But my stepfather said, oh, you're going to be back in 1 month, and you're never going to be anything. If you are a real man, stay out of the kitchen.
He pulls back a curtain.
I decided at that moment, I want to prove him wrong. My job was peeling the potatoes, cleaning the kitchen. I didn't do any cooking, but I was just happy to be there.
At the Park Hotel Villach.
Everybody just looked at me and said, what is this little kid doing here? He should be in school, you know. I was so nervous that I'm gonna screw up and have to go home. That was my biggest fear. And then one day, in the middle of lunch, we ran out of mashed potatoes. At the end of lunch, the chef called me over and told me that I was good for nothing. I don't know why they hired you. And I remember his red face. He had this huge belly and he was screaming at me. And I was like this tiny, 95-pound kid, you know. He fired me and kicked me out of the restaurant.
The woolly-hatted boy runs across cobbled stones after dark.
In my head, I said, I cannot go home. The last thing I want to have is my stepfather say, yeah, I told you so, you're back now. By that time, it was almost dark. I walked to the bridge over the Drau River, and I stood up there looking down in the really dark river and thinking, at home, I get this negativity, this feeling that I'm good for nothing. Now it happened again. Maybe I am good for nothing. Maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe that's the solution.
He steps up onto the railing.
So I stood there for about an hour. And then all of a sudden, I decided I don't want to give up. I'm going to go back tomorrow and see what happens.
In the reconstruction, young Wolfgang walks away from the bridge.
The next morning at 6:30 a.m., I went back to the hotel.
The boy walks along a wintry road.
The chef starts screaming at me and says, I told you, you're good for nothing to go home. I said, I'm not going home. So I dug my little heel in and I said, he tried to grab me. I moved back and I says, I'm not leaving. He didn't know what to do. So he called the owner of the hotel. The owner says, well, if he's so determined to stay here, maybe I will send him to the other hotel. They own another little hotel called the Park Hotel, and we'll see what happens. To me, it was like, oh, my God, a present fell from heaven. I learned that nothing comes easy, but giving up is not an option.
A small round table is laid. A yellow sauce is whisked. Cheese is grated, beetroot cut up, prawns are shelled.
Who made the olive rolls today? Huh? Very nice.
Dark tubular pasta shapes.
Is that an appetizer or a main course?
Appetizer, chef.
Wolf thinly slices smoked salmon.
Early on at Spargo, we used to make smoked salmon with brioche and dill cream. And it was very popular.
A flashback to then.
One day, the restaurant was crazy busy. And we ran out of brioche. All of a sudden, Joan Collins comes in. She was like the biggest star on television. And she always wanted smoked salmon. And I said, what are we going to give it her? We didn't have baguettes. We didn't have any other bread. And you know, you don't want to make Joan Collins mad.
A Collins face slap.
So I stretched out a pizza dough, added some finely chopped onions, and baked it for a few minutes. And I put some dill cream on it. I put the smoked salmon cut really thin on it. A few dollops of caviar. And I said, wow. This is perfect.
He slices his smoked salmon pizza.
I think the best food comes from somebody that knows the rules and then can break them.
Nancy Silverton, pastry chef.
What's interesting about the smoked salmon pizza was that it had no tomato sauce and it had no cheese. As simple as that sounds today, I don't think anyone had done a pizza like that before.
Sometimes when you ask Wolfgang Puck, what's cooking, you may not understand the answer. But you're bound to like it.
When it came to food, Wolf was always willing to go in a different direction and take big risks.
Laurie Ochoa, LA Times.
With Chinois, he wanted to use his French techniques to complement Chinese cooking. That was the beginning of fusion.
Vegetables, dumplings, fried meat, raw meat, lobster, crab, a handful of chicken and lettuce. As Evan Funk, a cook, explains.
Wolf's Chinese chicken salad at Chinois birthed this explosion of the Asian chicken salad forever and ever. Like, you can go to, like, supermarket and find Asian chicken salad in a bag. Like, he did that.
We're making chicken salad, right? Okay. Chinese chicken salad.
Chinese chicken salad.
sometimes I think inventions come where you least expect it. All of a sudden, out of necessity, something good comes out.
He and his chefs eat his signature salmon pizza. In a small town of yellow-painted houses and tall church steeples, Wolf wanders down the wintry pedestrianized main street with an eager smile.
I got really lucky when I got the job at the Park Hotel. I started to stamp the French fries, peeled onions. They showed me how to make the pancakes in the pans.
He goes to eat.
Little by little, I started to get better.
A waiter brings him a dish.
So, bitteschön, ein Wiener Schnitzel.
Dankeschön.
Guten Appetit.
Bitte.
He squeezes a half lemon on the schnitzel.
I was so proud of myself when I could heat up some peas or some carrots or make the chicken soup. It made me feel really good about what I was doing.
He savors the taste of the schnitzel. A photo of him as a boy in a chef's toque with two Austrian waitresses.
About 2.5 years into the apprenticeship, we had a French restaurant from Dijon come and cooked for a week in the hotel.
Crayfish, roast pork, and roasted poultry.
They did all these things I never saw.
Flambé sauces.
I was so inspired by the French cooking that I knew at that point I had to go to France and experience it and learn it.
The Eiffel Tower, and by the Seine River, a man with a baguette drinks from a bottle.
I was 19 years old when I started at Beaumanière, a famous three-star restaurant in France.
In Provence.
They had like 5 French cooks there, and I was the youngest one, and I didn't speak French. It was pretty rough.
A vineyard stretches into the distance.
We had a huge farm there with 6 gardeners. They brought the finest green beans or apricots or great melons. So we cooked with only the best ingredients. The flavors were so amazing. I had never experienced that. This was a revelation for me. Raymond Tullier, the owner, was a perfectionist.
In his 60s.
One day he made a sauce and he said, "Taste it." I tasted it and said, I will put a little lemon juice and a little pepper. He said, okay, put a little lemon juice and pepper. He tasted it and he said, oh, good, much better. He made me feel appreciated. It made me feel like, I can do that as well as anybody in the kitchen.
Twilly oversees young Wolf.
After that, Raymond Tullier really became my mentor. And I said, I want to be a chef. I want to be like him.
As a teenager, he joins the chefs in another restaurant, L'Oasis in Lanapool, France. A panoramic view of Paris, and at ground level, a bustling street market.
After I came to France, my life started to take steps up, up, up all the time. I was always thinking about the future. I was still upset at my stepfather and did not want to have nothing to do with him. So I didn't talk to my family for 1.5 years. I never wrote a letter, no nothing. I wanted to stay as far away from home as possible.
A photo shows him lounging on a lawn with a broad grin. Dusk in his lakeside Austrian hometown, where his sister Christina picks up the story.
When he went to France, it was very, very hard for our mom and for unsere Großmutter.
For our grandmother. When our grandma was close to her death, when she was in hospital, we didn't hear from Wolfgang. We didn't know where he was. She was crying and said, I only want to see my darling Wolfgang again and nothing else. We didn't know when we'd see him again. 2 ducks swim across the water, bathed in pink evening light.
One day at Beaumanière, the dishwasher says, you know, I listened to the radio and The Austrian embassy in Paris is looking for you. Nobody has any news. Nobody knows where you are. And they think you're dead. And so I wrote my mother a note and said, you know, I'm in Provence. I like it here and everything is fine. Don't worry. I felt bad leaving my family, but I said, I don't care what happened. I will never come back home.
To the town by the lake. The Hollywood sign, palm trees, Sunset Boulevard, Beverly Hills, Paramount Pictures, Capitol Records.
Every kid dreams about coming to America. In America, everybody is rich, everybody drives a Cadillac. So when I was 24, I came to California. I had very little money. So I found an apartment in a retirement home on Bunker Hill with my friend Guy. Cockroaches on the staircases and everything. But what do you want for $80? I got a job working in a restaurant. And I was the night chef there. But it was like the opposite of Romania. Things had to be flown in, frozen. No fresh ingredients. I got so many steaks back, they said, no, it's not well done enough. And I said, oh, no, this is nothing I imagined. This is terrible.
Mrs. Henry, the magician. And here's your frozen food magic. Children often need between-meal snacks, snacks like Hostess Twinkies. They help your child go and grow.
Stop! You don't have to peel onions or mess with garlic. Taste-Tap push-button foods are here.
It's hard to remember today what food was like in America in the 70s. We were very ashamed. We thought of American food as hamburgers, hot dogs, we don't have anything good here. People were used to tasteless tomatoes and produce that had no flavor and no aroma. French chefs would come over and say, oh my God, I have to import everything from France.
In those days, restaurants were just about sauce and meat, maybe a flaming dessert or something. Food had gotten into a big rut.
Archive footage of people eating colorless, tasteless, processed food.
After 2 months or so of working in the restaurants downtown, I walked one day to get an espresso, and all of a sudden I see my friend from Paris. And I said, what the hell are you doing here? And he said, well, I'm working in a restaurant called Ma Maison. The owner is the nephew of the owner of La Tour d'Argent, 3-star restaurant from Paris. So I said, wow, that must be an amazing restaurant. Maybe you can help me find a job. He got me a job as a cook at Ma Maison. I was so excited. But the first day, I walked in. And I see AstroTurf on the floor and plastic chairs and everything. Not even a walk-in refrigerator. They had refrigerators lined up outside. I said, oh, my God, this is the nephew of the owner from La Tour d'Argent.
Patrick Terai on the front cover of a magazine.
Patrick was very arrogant. He had always a nice suit on with a little carnation here and talked like he had the best restaurant in Los Angeles. But it was nothing.
Circa 1979, 1980, the restaurateur thought he was the guy. And the chef was the blue-collar guy toiling away in the kitchen, expendable.
Now, white-haired Patrick Terai slips a red carnation into his lapel.
Ma Maison was my vision. It was my artwork, my production, my movie. When I hired Wolf, he did not have any idea of what it was to cook for Americans.
So I started working there, and 2 weeks later, I saw the worst review.
Overcooked, greasy, burnt.
So Patrick fired the chef there, and he said, Wolfgang, take over the restaurant, be the chef here. I couldn't believe it, but Ma Maison had a really bad reputation. And boy, when I looked in their refrigerator, the only food available was a frozen meat. And I said, hell no, I cannot cook like that.
A color photo of young Wolf with the proprietor and his blue apron staff in the background. The exterior of Spargo. Butter and herbs sizzle in a pan. Wolf sautés peas.
After I got the job, people laughed about it because there was nobody going to Mamaison. Everybody said, oh my God, you made a mistake to go to this restaurant.
He drops ravioli into a pan.
A lot of people think the grass is always greener somewhere else. They say, well, I have a problem here. Let's throw in the towel and quit. But I believe the grass is greener where you water it the most. If you put in the effort and put in the work, now it only can get better.
He sautés the ravioli with the peas and plates up.
When I started at Mamaison, the food was terrible. So I said, how are we going to fix that? You start with the best product, and then you don't screw it up.
In a wide open space, 20 miles north of San Diego, sits a modest roadside stand. By contrast, fancy cars line up at the shack 6 days a week. They come to buy Tom Chino's produce, the most carefully grown fruits and vegetables anywhere.
When I went the first time to the Chino farm in Rancho Santa Fe, and I saw all the vegetables there, my eyes lit up and I said, oh my God, this is as good as Beaumanière. I can really cook.
Baby tomatoes, corn on the cob, rhubarb, zucchini, berries.
Wolf was the first person in L.A. to find the Chino Ranch. He started using their fantastic produce. Suddenly, he's serving this very simple food that's incredibly flavorful. Making these salads that people would go, oh my God, this is a tomato? And that was really new.
A glossy salad of mixed fresh ingredients and a mouth-watering apple tart.
The quality of the ingredients became so much a part of the food at Mamaison.
This is our tuna.
He made a daily trip to the fish market. He made a weekly 2-hour-plus trip to pick up vegetables. That was very, very unique.
He showed us how to make American food in a whole new way, bringing it all together and making it feel like this is California on a plate. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. And bon appetit.
It was hard the first 6 months, but I worked hard. And little by little, the restaurant started to get better. And I was so proud of it.
To get a table in the restaurant was pretty much almost impossible. Wolf was in the kitchen, never to be seen, making food like none of us had ever eaten before. But the restaurant really revolved around Patrick Tarai.
Tarai mixes with the stars, among them Orson Welles and Sly Stallone.
Hollywood's Mamaison has terrific food and an unlisted phone number. It's one of Tinseltown's hottest lunch spots, and nobody cares if the dining area is a former parking lot covered with AstroTurf. It's so popular that jet-setters jockey for a table, and everyone wants to make friends with the waiters.
The car park is full of luxury cars.
Working at Mamaison was crazy. I would wake up early, go to the market downtown, buy fresh ingredients, and then drive to Mamaison, where I worked from 5 in the afternoon until 2 or 3 in the morning. We knew clubs who started to open up at 2 in the morning, and we used to hang out until the day came up every day.
A spinning tinsel ball.
One night, I went to dance with a girl. We talked, and she said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a cook, I'm a chef. And she looked at me, a cook? The song was over, she left me on the dance floor and walked away from me. And I was saying, what did I do? I didn't even walk on her toes or anything. So from then on, when I went to a club, I always said, I'm a race car driver in Europe.
Okay, we're gonna add our milk to our egg yolks.
At that time, I was teaching cooking classes at Mamaison, and one day I looked up while I was making my butter sauce. And here in the back was Barbara, she snuck in.
Barbara Lazaroff.
I walked into the class and sat down. Wolf looked up for a moment, and he spotted me, and he had a big, like a big wad of butter in his hands, and he proceeded to just drop it on the floor. And things progressed rather quickly after that.
Photos of the two of them smiling happily and kissing.
Barbara was a beautiful woman. She was very outgoing, and she was very smart and talented.
He was very sweet, and he was very focused on what he was doing. He was a little unattainable in certain ways, too. The standard joke was, if I would dress up as a baby carrot, little baby carrot, I'd probably get more attention. But I like a challenge.
Barbara was really the one pushing Wolf forward. He was the genius and the chef, but she was the one who saw it and said, don't undersell yourself. You're really great.
A black and white picture of them both wielding a pepper grinder and grinning from ear to ear.
Voila, you see, it's starting to get nice and brown.
Now, should you always put the skin down first? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, always the skin first.
Wolfgang was always telling me about his dreams and desires about work and wishes. And he said, you know, one day I would really like to have my own restaurant. And I said, yeah, really, you should.
Okay, we're going to saute all our vegetables now. First the bacon so the fat goes out.
One day I found this check. I said, Wolf, is this your paycheck? He said, yeah. I said, is this all you make a week for working as hard as you do? You should go in and ask Patrick to double the salary.
After I had been working there for 6 years, I went to see Patrick. And Patrick said, you know, maybe I'll make you a partner in the restaurant. I said, good. But I'm going to pay you a little bit less. Before I came to Mamaison, Mamaison was almost bankrupt. And as soon as I started, we started to go uphill. But Patrick took all the credit for it. And he made me feel like I'm not that important to the restaurant.
Terai with his protege, and now.
Mamaison is an American icon. With Wolf or without Wolf, whatever.
Mamaison was really my house. You know, I built it from nothing. I went to Patrick and I told him, I want to be an equal partner. It has to be 50-50.
My uncle at the time, at the Tour d'Argent, said, you're crazy. You can't do that. You're the restaurateur and he's just a chef.
He pointed at me and said, you know, I always gonna own 51%. So I pointed back on him and said, me too. So that was that. Then I said, now I have to leave.
A photo of young Wolf in his pristine white toque standing over a large fish dish. Now a fire is crackling in a hearth. And Wolf at 70 sits in front of it, gazing at the flames.
I always wanted to open my own restaurant. It was my dream. But Mamaison was the restaurant in LA. To live at the pinnacle, it's crazy.
He sits with his fingers entwined, looking reflective.
Patrick told the newspapers that I have no idea how to run a restaurant. I'm only a cook. I said, Wolfgang will come back in 3 months begging for a job. I said, my God, this is like déjà vu. All these crazy words reminded me of my stepfather. It made me feel like I'm gonna fail.
Wolf was very talented and passionate and focused, but I don't think he thought enough of himself. He was constantly having nightmares about what if this fails, what if this fails. I was constantly telling him, you can do it. We can do this.
Late afternoon sunlight casts its golden rays on a beach as waves crash onto the shore. And Wolf walks down to the water.
The whole time I was so nervous. Barbara was very supportive of it. She had also confidence in me that I can make it work. I think Barbara helped me remember that I don't quit. I don't give up easily.
He had no idea if he was going to be able to actually run a business. I mean, this was all new to him. But I think it was this moment, you know, either you jump off the diving board or you resign yourself to standing in the back of the kitchen with your white toque on for the rest of your life. And he took the plunge.
He turns away from the shore. A busy street in LA, and the iconic facade of Spargo with its pair of huge cat-like eyes on the front.
Wolfgang found this restaurant space in Hollywood. It was a dive. Such disrepair. We had to get a blaster in there to get 3 inches thick grease off the walls that had been there for 30 years. I remember I was upside down scrubbing the gum off the bottom of all the old tables for days. We didn't have a lot of money at the time, so we had to do what we could.
An old-style family pizza place with red-checked tablecloths.
Wolf's initial idea of opening Spago was that it was going to be this little pizza place like one he had gone to in Saint-Rémy in Provence. Checked tablecloths. And Barbara was the one who said, no, let's do something more ambitious.
The construction begins and cement is mixed.
I didn't have a lot of design experience, but I had done theater sets. And I thought, cooking is a show. It was theater. And he was the star. So I called up 911. I said, could I have the number for the fire department? And all I said was, hello, sir. We're thinking of doing a restaurant that is going to have a wood-burning pizza oven on the kitchen line, open in the restaurant. Is that okay? And he says, sounds okay to me, lady. And I hung up the phone, I turned to Wolf, and I said, we can do this.
Archive footage of their opening day.
The day of opening, the nails were still being pounded into the boards. And I don't even think the menu was done then.
The day we opened, we had just gotten our final approvals. So I was able to turn on the stoves, get stocks going. I'd been going for like about 40 hours without sleep.
They did not have electricity until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
We were about to open that night, and I'm still standing barefoot on top of the exhibition counter, getting everything adjusted correctly. Food's still coming through the door. Everybody's trying to get dressed. And then the doors opened, and organized pandemonium.
The first floor restaurant seen from outside.
To my surprise, from the first day, it became an instant success.
It was an amazing feeling.
We had so many customers, so we were in the weeds every night.
You'd have an 8:30 reservation, and if you were lucky, maybe you'd get seated at 10. I mean, you walked in there, and the energy just came up.
A cook spins the pizza dough.
We worked in the kitchen right up front. There was a lot of noise. There was a lot of heat, flame. We were making pizzas as fast as we possibly could.
You could smell the food wafting across the room. You saw the excitement. You saw the food coming in and going out.
A pizza is transferred from oven to plate.
Everybody was asking about the food, what it was. So I went out and bought some pastel and designed my own menu. and put on Spago California cuisine. People loved it.
California writes the new menu.
He was making the best pizza, the best salad, the best grilled foods you could eat, all very healthy. A lot of people called it California cuisine. I just called it Wolfgang's Kitchen.
A headline reads, Wolfgang finds life after Ma Maison. Culinary risk paying off.
Wolfgang was just such a huge personality, and mostly because of that open kitchen. There was no other restaurant like that.
Every night we said the same thing. Curtain up. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is Spago. A year after we opened, the New York Times wrote a piece, The Spagoization of Manhattan. To realize that in 1 year, that restaurant had affected the way people dine, a more casual environment, putting the chefs on stage with open kitchens, all of that. That was monumental.
New York, Wolfgang Puck has saved us, declares Francine Duplessis Gray in her new novel, October Blood. A TV title, The French Chef with Julia Child, who's standing over six headless chickens.
We're roasting this chicken today on The French Chef. You know, we speak of a covey of quail and a gaggle of geese and a pride of lions. Well, this is known as a peep of chickens.
At that time in the 80s, Julia Child was the only big chef who was on television. You had a number of cooking shows, particularly on local stations all over the country, but no one had really gone national.
A couple of regional TV chefs.
Carrot. Mushroom.
And these snails were brought into America from France as a food item.
Tofu. It doesn't have much personality in its raw form. It's simply begging to be flavored.
Wolfgang was recognized very quickly as an innovator.
They can smell it on the camera.
We were friends, and I went in, and one day I said to him, we think you should be on TV. I decided that the best way to get him on television was to take the president of ABC to dinner.
Wolf passes pizza dough from hand to hand.
I called Wolf up, and he said, what would you like me to do? We proceeded to have one of the all-time great tasting menus in history.
Sauteed mushrooms, freshly made pasta, a basted quail, meat en croûte, millefeuille with berries and cream.
And we proceeded to have a lot of wine. At the end of the dinner, I said, I think it would be great to give Wolf two or three appearances on GMA. The guy said, sounds like a good idea. Because I'm an agent, I pulled out a napkin, and I wrote this all out on the napkin, dated it, and had him sign it. And we had a contract.
Good Morning America, Thursday the 31st of January.
One of the most celebrated chefs in Hollywood is a young man named Wolfgang Puck, and he has cooked for all the rich and the famous from all over the world. Today he's going to cook for us, and it's nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. What are you cooking?
Well, we're going to make a luxurious hamburger today.
All right.
We have here like
being live for the first time on national television was such a big deal for me.
We have here a little bit of blue cheese.
I was confident in my cooking, but I was nervous looking at the cameras, which camera to look at.
Okay, and you take
it. I wanted it to be perfect, so that way they asked me to come back.
Put it right in the middle and close it up.
In those days, there was a very simple way of defining what was successful by how many calls came into the switchboard at the network.
We're going to saute them really fast.
After the first appearance, we called everyone in our company and had them call every relative they had. And the network lit up in L.A. and New York, the switchboard, lit up with people calling saying, who is that cute little guy? He's so fantastic. Love those recipes. All scripted by us. And it worked. He just blew up like a movie star.
Best-selling pizzas, which is a duck sausage pizza.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
You want one too?
Yeah. Wolf started doing every morning show and late night show. He could be with David Letterman and make jokes. He just knew how to be himself, and you just loved him.
Where do you get your recipes?
You know, I'm cooking for 25 years already, so, you know, it's easy to make.
You and I, you're probably younger than I am, aren't you?
Well, much younger, yeah.
Every journalist wanted to interview him constantly. There were always photo shoots. It was nuts.
It's okay, we have enough for everybody.
In the mid-80s, I went with him to Cleveland, and I go with Wolf to rent a car. And the woman in the car rental says to him, "Oh, my God, it's Wolfgang Puck. You're that chef." And I thought, okay, the age of the celebrity chef has begun.
Hello, madame. How are you? I'm Wolfgang Puck.
No, you're not.
I was impressed by Wolf's success. He became the first star chef in America. The Food Network came right behind him. And that created a new industry.
TV chefs galore.
Good morning. Wolfgang Puck deserves so much respect for how he transformed celebrity for chefs with TV shows, cook-offs. He set the stage for all that.
The Tom Cruise of chefs is Wolfgang Puck. His own wedding was featured on the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. This is a cook we're talking about.
Wolf cooks with David Letterman.
After that, there were lots of star chefs, but nobody as big as Wolfgang.
An archive news report about Wolf from Hollywood.
Here we go with my old car here. My limousine is ready.
Another interview.
The place is Spago's, the legendary inn restaurant owned, operated by, and featuring the cuisine of the equally legendary chef, Wolfgang Puck. Puck's is a household name. He is arguably the best-known, most successful chef of our time.
My dream really was to have one little restaurant, maybe write a cookbook.
And you've made more money at it than you ever dreamed you would.
Yeah, absolutely. And I live better than I ever thought I would live. But, you know, the money aspect is not what really drives me.
Ruth Reichel again.
Despite the fact that he was enormously successful, enormously respected, Wolf was still sort of stunned by his success. When you caught him off guard, you would find that he was afraid that he'd be back in the basement peeling potatoes, that at any moment, you know, the coach was going to turn back into a pumpkin. So he was not slowing down.
All right, now we're going to stop, huh?
I think all of those shows and all of the press that started to be generated led to an explosion. It was frenetic.
Your restaurateur of this year is Wolfgang Puck.
Every city he went to, somebody was like, come open here, come into business with us. Everybody wanted the piece of Wolf.
He shakes hands, he kisses cheeks, glasses are raised.
Johnny Carlson used to come often to Spago. One day, he said, can I take some pizzas to go? So he took like a pile, like 10, 12 pizzas to go. And by the second or third time, I said, Johnny, what are you doing with my pizzas? He says, I put them in the freezer. I just looked at him and said, what the heck? So out of that really started my frozen pizza business.
Wolfgang was the first chef since Chef Boyardee to say, what if I take my food and make it available to people who are home cooks? After that, he became a brand.
World-renowned chef Wolfgang Puck.
Wolfgang Puck.
Celebrity chef Wolfgang Puck.
Every month, there seemed to be a new restaurant opening throughout California and then around the world. It was like, how is he everywhere?
A beautiful set that we get to talk about. We opened Spago Las Vegas, and then we started building cafes. Things just kept blossoming and blossoming and blossoming.
Now that's what I call fusion. I could sell them on the internet.
He kisses Marge Simpson.
Everything was running at 100 miles an hour. Everything was a huge success beyond my greatest dreams. But I still always felt that something is missing.
Wolf with a wistful look.
Wolfgang,
so good to have you here in Atlanta, no less.
In Atlanta, you are so busy. You got the frozen pizza line. You got 63 restaurants. You got all this stuff. You got a new four-month-old baby.
I think it keeps me busy. Keeps me out of trouble.
I guess
way.
So. Yeah. Now
when I thought about becoming a father and how I'm going to treat my children, especially, I was so nervous. The last thing I wanted to be is like my stepfather. But Barbara had always wanted to start a family. So when our first child came, I was already 40 years old. A few years later, I had a second child. But I also was expanding like crazy at that time.
I think because we were building a business and he was always so nervous about things not going right, primarily the caretaking of the children fell to me mostly. He was always at the restaurants.
Certain nights I said, listen, I shouldn't be in the restaurant, I should be at home with my son. But, you know, I think we try to juggle both of them, to spend time with him and also spend time at the restaurant, because we feel like the restaurants are also our children.
Michael Ovitz.
I felt that he was spread way too thin. I tried to get him to focus on fewer things, but he did what he wanted to do. He tried to do everything.
How much time do you spend in the kitchen now? Are there days when you don't cook anything yourself?
You know, there are days when I have to talk with accountants and with lawyers and
reporters.
Yeah, no, and that's my worst day probably.
Byron Lazarov Puck.
When I was growing up, my dad was always working. I remember being in elementary school and going to Spago four nights out of the week for dinner, just so I could have a family dinner. It was hard to see him.
Byron's mother, Barbara.
I could not get his attention because he was busy doing this and busy doing that. I said, if you want a relationship and you want to really know your kids, you're going to have to be there sometime.
I have a new thing in the office over there for you.
What is that? Well, your idea of a plaisanterie and my idea of a plaisanterie are two different things. So.
Glamorous Barbara turns her back on Wolf, who's standing at the pass, tasting food.
Working with Wolf and Barbara, I don't know if I've ever had worked with such a team before. Together, the two of them made something that I don't think anybody else had done before. But at that time, journalists were so captivated by Wolfgang and his winning personality that what was hard for Barbara is that she worked every bit as hard as Wolfgang, and she didn't get the attention. And I think that wore her down.
Nancy Silverton, pastry chef. And a newspaper headline reflects on their divorce.
As a kid, I didn't understand, like, what divorce was. I didn't understand that my dad wasn't going to be in the house anymore. Until I went to school on the first day of second grade, and my mom walked me into school, and she turned me around, and she was, like, very serious with me for a second. She was just like, if anyone says anything about your parents or what's going on at home, don't say anything to them. You don't need to. Don't get angry with them. Just leave it alone, and you can talk to me about it.
A paper asks, will each get a slice of Puck's pizza empire?
When we got divorced, it was really hard. Barbara was always a great supporter of me. She always believed in me.
The interior of Spago with its ceiling window.
Often I would sit at Spago looking out the window and ask myself, who am I?
Wolf comes down the aisle of a food store.
Am I a chef? Am I a restaurant? Am I a character? Am I a guy who has never enough?
His blue eyes stare out from behind thick, black-framed glasses. The moon sinks down behind a wooded Austrian hillside. and the decoratively painted entrance of a local cemetery, where Wolf and Christina are walking side by side, wrapped in scarves and heavy coats.
Ooh, cold though.
Yeah, well, cold here. Very cold. I wouldn't want to be here. It's too cold for me. Those are from down there. They're from the estate. And that's the farmer. The farmer. And these are ours, he says, as they approach the family grave. Christine Topichnik, Maria and Josef Puck, who died in 2004 and 2007, respectively. Where were you in 1970, when Grandma died? In Beaumanière. We couldn't reach you. We knew that you were in Beaumanière, but it was hard back then with the phone, when there was no phone and we couldn't reach you then. Yes, they stand at the grave, both holding a bunch of red roses. I believe that the older people get, the more they tend to look back. Wolf places a lit red candle at the base of the headstone, followed by the roses. I believe he's the kind of person who knows what he did wrong before and what he needs to change. Christina watches her brother, who's deep in thought. Now he comes down the steps of the cemetery and walks along a wintry meadow.
My whole life, I had this fear of failure. I had this fear of going backwards. I always had this desire to be successful, do more, and do better.
He's back on the pedestrianized street.
But at the end of the day, I didn't really know who I was or what it was for.
A distant view of Wolf walking onto the bridge above the Still River, near to the twin spires of a white-painted Baroque church, and the range of snow-capped mountains beyond. As he holds onto the rail in the fading sunlight, his woolly-hatted younger self walks the other way.
Our childhood memories are visceral memories.
Barbara.
Those memories of Austria are part of his DNA.
A photo of his stepfather in boxing gloves.
Not all of them are good memories.
Wolf looks broodily at the river.
But part of me always felt that maybe by doing this, by cooking, maybe you're rewriting your story.
Wolf walks off the bridge.
Wolfgang didn't start out because he knew one day he would have a food company and a TV show and restaurants around the world. He started out because he loved to cook, and this was his life and his passion.
Color photos of Wolf surrounded by chefs and diners. As he walks briskly over a wide frozen meadow, Christina sums him up. I don't think he's forgiven his stepfather. To me, it's just important that Wolfgang learned how to live with it and that he can let go of what hurt him, what weighed so heavily on him. He walks beneath the canopy of tall, straight pine trees as he reflects at home.
I spent my whole life hating my stepfather and trying to prove him wrong. But looking back, sometimes I think maybe that whole thing made me stronger. I realized all this time I wasn't running away from anything. I was going after this thing I love to do.
In the forest, dappled with sunshine, cold air billows from his mouth as he looks about him. Back in the land of tall, straight palm trees and the Spargo restaurant, the pizza oven is burning brightly. Wolf throws in a branch and stokes the fire with a smile.
We all make mistakes when we go through life. looking back and say, I should have, I could have, doesn't going to get me anywhere. I just think if you spend the time talking about the past, you forget to talk about the future. What are the possibilities? What can we do next? So when I moved Spago from West Hollywood to Beverly Hills, I said, what am I going to do different? I have to do something different.
He cuts up a lemon.
When I was at Ma Maison, we made modern French food. I opened Spago, was like a mixture of California, then Chinois, was Asian. But Austria is where I fell in love with cooking. And yet, I never cooked Austrian food, actually. I said, you know what? I'm going to put something Austrian on the menu.
He hammers at a piece of veal wrapped in cling film till it's almost paper thin, then dips it into flour and breadcrumbs.
For me as a child, I remember the Wiener Schnitzel my mother used to make. I remember she made a soup with liver dumplings that I used to love. Or the Palatschinken or Kaiserschmarrn. These were things I remember the most about our family, the positive part of our family.
He drips a strawberry coulis into a pan.
You know, we all have the taste of our childhood in our heads. And when he made the menu at Spago Beverly Hills, it's like, I'm going to put my dish on there, and I don't care if it even goes with the rest of the Spago menu. I'm going to put it on there.
He deep fries the schnitzel.
And of course, we all order it all the time because it's fantastic.
With a smile, Wolf peppers a fillet of beef and serves it in rectangular slices. He rolls out dough, serves his salmon pizza, his berry millefeuille. He places crispy cornets packed with a delicious ham and salad mixture over the pass.
Wolfgang does so many things. But I always knew that he was never more comfortable than in his chef jacket in front of a stove. That's when Wolfgang feels like Wolfgang.
I think Wolfgang's greatest impact is the joy that he brings to cooking.
Mark Peel, former chef de cuisine. Waiters serve appetizing salads to the appreciative clientele and Wolf beams.
There's a warmth wherever he is. He just generates it. He walks into a room and it lights up.
He chats with his diners.
People say food is medicine. For Wolf, food is the conduit of love.
Icing sugar is sprinkled onto a strawberry and pancake dessert.
To my big surprise, the Wiener Schnitzel was a huge success. Everybody loved it. In a way, it reminded me that for me, food is family. Making people feel happy is my purpose in life.
A perfect schnitzel topped with parsley. Wolfgang is behind the wheel of his car, driving westwards on a long, straight road in Los Angeles as the sun begins to set.
I think it's interesting, you know, how we live our life. We forget how short it is, actually, you know. So I think now I'm a little bit more stingy with my time. Well, because I only have that many summers left, really.
At the restaurant, red plums are halved and quartered. A bite-sized vanilla ice cream on a stick. Wolf walks through his busy kitchen, tasting as he goes.
Are we doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What are they having? Bread?
Bread.
Brioche. Brioche. What are we making? But make them really dark, huh?
Yes, chef.
No more white cookies.
No white cookies.
Yeah. When people ask me what I'm the most proud of, it's really longevity. How is the tuna? Give me a little bit. staying in business for so many years. It really takes a lot of hard work.
Don't overcook it, okay?
I think we always have to continue to change. And I really believe we get new ideas often from the younger ones. Now I have the pleasure and the luxury to have so many talented young chefs, like my son, Byron.
Are you going to put the egg in there?
Yeah. Do that.
Okay, here, I'll help you.
Thank you.
Don't put that on, put the shells in.
Nailed it. I started working at Spago as a 13-year-old, peeling potatoes. And seeing him there as the kind of leader was just amazing for me to watch as a kid.
Wolf watches his son lay a breaded veal escalope into a pan.
Everything he did, I wanted to do it. I felt very comfortable in this environment, and it felt like something I could really, really put my heart into and spend the rest of my life doing. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
A little more.
Okay, yeah, make it nice and crispy.
Yeah. Now I get to be passionate not only about the same thing, but I get to have one of the best teachers in the world helping me along the way.
I remind me that sound that my mother used to make.
Yeah.
The fact that Byron really wants to be in the business, I don't think there could be greater joy for Wolf than that. I mean, to have a son who wants to follow in his footsteps, I think it's huge for him.
Folks, are we enjoying ourselves over here?
Byron goes from table to table.
As a younger chef, I think I was so absorbed in my profession of becoming successful that I neglected my duty as a father. But now it's a great thing to work with my son in the business. And I think for a father, there's nothing better than seeing your kids successful.
The two of them gaze into the camera. Now the whole family is gathered in their kitchen.
No, seriously.
Okay. Yeah.
And put them on that cutting board right there.
Fresh.
Who wants to be my sous chef because I hate cutting onions? Seriously.
Okay, I do.
That is the best use of Wolfgang Puck.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Cut onions.
Okay. Look at that. I'm the chopper of the onions.
I actually think I should. Okay.
You're going to start it with the tip on the board like that and push through so it makes it really easy.
Si, senor.
Yeah. Here, use this.
Dude, it kind of tastes good, though.
When I look back today and ask what could I have done different, for sure it was spent more time with the family. I really missed my kids growing up.
Well, you have to go on Sundays. Thankfully, I never
rent. Oh, that's good.
Careful
your
fingers. I still need a lot.
That's fine. That's
no,
fine.
Don't take my cheese. Hey.
But I'm now married to Galila, and we have two young boys. So now I know how precious time is.
No kisses.
Father and son bring the food to the garden table.
Y'all ready to eat?
Byron serves his older brother, Cameron.
Just my boys.
Cheers. Cheers. All right, good job, Byron.
Cheers, sir.
Galila Asifa Puck, Wolfgang's wife.
At the end of the day, you have to live by an example. Wolf's experience pushed him towards love, to reconnect as a family and become the person he wants to become. That he's able to influence not only his children, but also anyone who is able to overcome challenges. I think that's a beautiful story.
After dark, Wolfgang is sitting at the head of the candlelit garden table looking at projected photos. One of him at 20, grinning, and another breaking an egg.
I don't think there's better examples of truly coming from nothing and building something incredible than Wolfgang Puck.
A group photo of Wolf's staff and family.
I think the real moral of Wolf's story is believe in yourself. Know what you're good at. Take chances. And you can be a success.
Wolf chatting to two admiring female diners.
Do
today, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who work in kitchens who aspire to be Wolfgang Puck and who will take heart from his story.
Chefs in aprons pose with him for a group photo.
The most important lesson that I learned from Wolfgang is not to be afraid. His dedication, willingness to sacrifice, is what made him what he is.
We gotta lean forward, it's very hard.
The knife is
hard.
Byron takes a bite of barbecued meat.
I think Wolf's legacy is in and of itself love. If you lead with your heart and your mind, and if you love what you do, that's a life well lived.
The penultimate word belonging to Barbara Lazaroff. Wolf carefully stretches out pizza dough.
I really believe we have to have purpose in life.
He slides the pizza dough into the oven.
Nothing comes easy, but if you believe in something, you have to follow your dreams.
A pizza sprinkled with onion slices slides onto a plate.
I hope I will end up doing this thing I love to do until I take my last breath.
A slow smile spreads across his characterful profile. Audio description created by Veronica Hicks for Iuno SDI Group. Funded by Disney Plus Originals. Narrated by Veronica Hicks. Copyright 2021, Disney Enterprises, Inc. All rights reserved.